Good morning, Aldersgate Church. It is good to see you all on this beautiful Sunday morning. It's hard to imagine that we're 8, 9, 10 hours. I don't know, math is harder from Tennessee if you don't know who I am. So math gets a little difficult for me, but 2023 is about to be in the books. It went by quick, didn't it? And here we are, 2024 is on the horizon. So here we go. And just so happy that you decided to join us this morning. If you're tuned in online, welcome from wherever you may be in the world. And I mean that. One day, actually, consistently, we have somebody tunes in from Aberdeen, Ireland. It's a whole funny story there, but we're glad that wherever you are watching from, that you've decided to join us. And today, we are going to close out our sermon series of Behold. And if you haven't been here, I'm going to give you a quick run through as to what we've been doing. We've been looking at the first kings of Israel. So Saul, David, Solomon, how they failed, how God used them, and basically the lead up to the divine promise that one of David's sons would sit on the throne forever. And I think sometimes as we go through Christmas year after year after year, we get into such a repetitive state of doing things that sometimes words can almost become numb to us. And so a couple weeks ago, as we were beginning to get ready for our Christmas Eve service, and I was also starting to prepare for this morning, there was some pretty big pronouncements that were given in the whole narrative of the virgin birth that pertain to the kingship of who Christ is. So let me give you, for an example, we had Saul. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, Samuel tells Saul that the Lord has now torn your kingdom away from you, and he's going to give it to someone who is greater than you. And so as we all gathered here on Christmas Eve, as so many churches have done globally, as you begin to read the virgin birth narrative in the Bible, and as we were reading it and as we were getting ready for it, knowing that we were in this sermon series, we read Luke chapter 1, verse 33, for instance. And he says, "And he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end." Well, right there, we saw that Saul disobeyed God to such a point that the kingdom, it says, was torn from his hands. And yet, as soon as the first breath was drawn by Jesus as a child, it was pronounced in, his kingdom would never end. That's pretty mighty when you think about it. And Psalm 51, verse 5, King David. David, known as a man after God's own heart, found himself fallen to adultery and murder. And so David writes Psalm 51. It's a beautiful psalm. If you've never read it, I encourage you to go read this. But in verse 5, he says, "Surely I was sinful at birth, surely sinful from the time my mother conceived me." Well, that's fascinating. Because if we all understand what sin brings, it's death. And so David's saying, at the moment that I was born, I was spiritually dead right there. But in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, it says, "So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Meaning, this is a righteous king. This is a righteous king. What about the queen of the south, Solomon? Word of mouth had reached the queen of the south, and she basically was, "I have to go see and hear this for myself. If the words that have reached me are true, I'll know," right? And so she decides to go up to Jerusalem to visit Solomon. And in 1 Kings chapter 10, she said to the king, "The report I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom is true." And that's fascinating because word of mouth had gotten to people and it had spread like a wildfire about the wisdom of Solomon. But as soon as Jesus was born, he didn't need word of mouth. The universe declared to the three wise men in the east, "He's there, follow the star." And when they reached a certain point, they said, "Where is the one who was born King of Israel?" And so I bring that up because sometimes I think it's good for us to take a step back and to ask ourselves, When we celebrate Christmas every year, do we truly understand what we celebrate? Do we truly get the meaning of what happened? Because in order to be a king, you have to have a what? A kingdom. And so, who is this king that as soon as he was born, he came with many titles? Right from the get-go, he's king of heaven. He's king of glory. He's king of righteousness. He's king of peace. He's Lord of lords, and he's king of kings. Who is this that we celebrate every year? And I think it's good to ask these questions because I think sometimes we fall into this state of just always being repetitive, and sometimes things lose their meaning. And we begin to treat Jesus as if sometimes he's our uncle and not the King of Kings. And so as we looked at the other kingdoms of Saul and David and Solomon, what about this kingdom that is to come? And yes, it is coming. I cannot think of any better way that as we close the chapter on 2023, that we look forward to 2024 and we look at the simple thing, the one reason in which you and I have hope beyond the grave. The reason why you and I are on high of joy all the time. And in these verses, you're going to see it asks some big questions to the modern day church. And so, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to open up to Revelation chapter 21. And we're going to bounce around a little bit, so bear with me. So Revelation 21, we're going to start with verse 2. It says, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. And they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. That's beautiful, isn't it? And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high. And he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. And on the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. We're going to skip to verse 22. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is the word of our God. Would you pray with me? Father God, we just thank you for this morning. And we thank you for your promises and what you have stated in your word, knowing that of all the trillions of books written on earth, this will be the only one fulfilled and fulfilled to the letter. And so we thank you and we love you. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Tell you what, all you have to do is watch your news for 5 minutes and then read those verses that we just read. And I don't know about you. I can only speak about me. And that is, when I read what we just read, that is the sole purpose in which you and I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. It's the sole purpose in which my prayer is that everybody hearing this has washed their sins away in the precious blood of the precious Lamb of God. This is the sole reason that we can celebrate at a funeral of somebody who had died, that we know that's the place they'll be. And here is the reality of what we just read. Not everybody goes there. Not everybody will make it and enter that kingdom. That is truth. That is true. But for you and I, it can ask some big questions in which how we walk with the Lord, how we live our lives. Do we truly deny ourselves? Do we truly separate from the world? And so the first thing you see is just how beautiful the city is. You think about the Solomon and how, or even David. David wanted to build the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. God did not let him, so he let Solomon. And you can imagine how beautiful that temple must have been because of all the work and all the materials that went into it. The amount of gold, the amount of silver, the amount of cedars from Lebanon, the amount of craftsmanship, the articles of worship, and how they had to be made and perfectly designed. You can imagine how beautiful that is. But just from the first two verses that we read, we see how it's compared to some of the rarest jewels that mankind will ever know. At one point it says the city is made of pure gold and it's as clear as crystal. That means you can go underneath the mountains, you can go into the mountains, you go in the ocean, under the ocean, go to a riverbed, and you will never find gold like this. That means this, it's not modern. It's not a modern city. It's an ancient city in which ways are ancient. It's a city in which God is known as the Ancient of Days. Jeremiah said it best. Stand at the crossroads and ask God for the ancient paths. This faith we profess is an ancient faith that was created, that was designed, that the blueprint was laid out from the foundations of the world. That from the foundations of the world, the Lamb would be slain. And how beautiful it is. Meaning this, that new Jerusalem, that will happen, and it's going to happen one day, is a city in which is not contaminated from sin. It's not like the world. In fact, it comes directly from heaven, meaning separated from the world. What about for you and what about for myself? Church, if we're going to inherit the kingdom, have we separated from the moral decay of this world? And you don't have to be a theologian to see that this world is morally bankrupt. It is morally bankrupt. Have I separated from that? Have I separated from the things that the world partakes in? And you see, these are basic questions that I think of myself. How much more do I need to ask myself this in the mirror? Have I separated from the world? And you see that this city needs no light. There's no sun. There's no moon. But the glory of the Lord gives it light. And when he says every word will be fulfilled, that will be fulfilled because you find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul says, you are the sons and daughters of the light. We belong to the day, not the night. And so, do we give this dark world the light of Christ? Because sometimes when you look at the church in America, you see that it has one foot in the world and one foot in the church. I want to be a Christian, but I like doing that. And then you see that messages begin to get messed up. That despite what the Word of God says, we still do this. And yet, this New Jerusalem, you see that God does not lower the standard for entry. He will not lower it. Despite what my opinion may be, or your opinion, because we live in a society, right, where my opinion is my truth, your opinion is your truth, and it's settled. That's the world we live in. But the truth of the matter is that God will not lower those standards on that day. He will not. And as it comes down from heaven, what we just read, it's very clear to see that this is a righteous city. And if we are to inherit the kingdom of God, and those that enter in, that means it's the home of the righteous. Now, I don't want to confuse anybody. It's nothing that you or I can do on our own. It's the righteousness of Christ imputed on each and every one of our lives. It's when we went to our knees and said, Lord, forgive me, I am a sinner. Please, I want to be born again today. Wash me in your blood. That those who have repented of sin, turned away, denied themselves, picked up their cross and followed him. He says, those are the ones who will enter that kingdom on that day. And I cannot think of a better message as we enter into 2024, because I can't help but to think that maybe someone sitting in here, someone viewing online, okay, maybe doesn't have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe hasn't called this New Jerusalem their home one day. But this kingdom is a righteous kingdom. And the Bible says he will rule with an iron scepter. What does that mean? Well, that means this, that when he calls sin, sin, it is sin. There won't be any debate about transitioning. There won't be any debate about the institution of marriage. There won't be any debate about lying. There won't be any debate about whatever it is. It will be the standards of God. And it's eternal. It's eternal. Because it's so easy to get wrapped up in the world, church, and to look at the things happening around us. But this begs to ask a big question to you and I, and that's this: what's our perspective? Do we have an eternal perspective with how we live our lives? Because the city in which we just read is eternal. It'll never be shaken. It'll never be conquered. The gates are always open. When you look at kingdoms back in the day, going into the castle or whatever it may be, the gates are shut, and that's to stop an invading army, to lock down our positions, to have defenses ready. But there will be no invading army on this day. There will be no one who will be able to rise up and to attack. And so how does one enter this city? Because if you're anything like me, I would want to know, what are the characteristics? How does someone enter this city? What must I do? And we found it in the last verse we read. But only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Church of Christ, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? You know, you think about big U.S. city, and you want to go eat at this five-star restaurant, and you got to have your name on a list, okay? And so you go to the door, and they check, yep, your name's on, you can enter. It's not, and you sit there, and you're like, come on, just let me in. And you know, no, you're not getting in. There's going to be no debate at the door. Either your name will be on the list, or your name is not going to be on the list. And it's those who have received Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. It's those who have put their trust in Him that will inherit this kingdom. This is an eternal kingdom. Your mind and my mind cannot fathom what that even means. If 100 trillion years have ended, eternity hasn't even begun yet. So think about that for a second. As we close out a new year, or we embark on a new year, we close out an old year. That as those years roll by, it doesn't even matter. It's eternal. Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Because when you go home, I invite you to read Revelation 13, chapter 8. And you'll be shocked to know that it says that those whose names have not been written in the Book of Life will worship the beast. Plainly put, you will worship Satan if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That might shock some of us to hear, right? It's like, there's no way I'd worship Satan. Every word will be fulfilled. And so my hope and my prayer for the church in America for 2024 sincerely would be that we would repent and have a national day of revival. Not a day of prayer. Prayer's great. But I'm talking about a turning away from sin and bringing revival to the four corners of this nation. That we've looked, all the problems that are happening in this country, and there are many. I mean, I might be from Tennessee, but even I can see them, you know. That among all the problems in this nation, we are looking left, we're looking right, we're looking everywhere. We're looking in all the wrong places. The solutions to the American problem are not political fixes. They're not economical fixes. They're not social fixes. But the problems to the American problem are found in heaven. Those solutions, He says, I'll come down and heal the land. And it starts with the church. It starts with the church. It's no secret. You don't have to be a theologian to see even why we had to leave the other denomination. And you look at some of the things that are going on in the church in America, and it's like, this is not what Christ died for. He died so that we could have grace, not to continue in sin, but to overcome it. To say no to worldliness and ungodliness. And so as I wrap up today, the question that has to be asked is this: is Jesus your Lord and Savior? Is He your King? And is your name on that list to the Lamb's Book of Life? If it's not, I would pray that today is the day of salvation. That today you can understand and know the hope in which this faith gives beyond the grave. To be in the presence of God for all eternity. This is the most important question that any of us will ever answer in our lives. It has nothing comes close because the ramifications of it are eternal. Who is Jesus to me? Who is He to me? Do I trust in what He did on the cross? And do I trust that He rose from the dead 3 days later? And do I trust and put my faith in that as of right now, He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father Himself? And am I watching for His return? That's a question only individually we can answer. I can only answer for me, and you can only answer for you. But if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day in which you can have eternity to look for. Because without Jesus is still eternity. But it ain't the New Jerusalem. And it's a place. It's a little warmer. And my hope and my prayer is that not one goes there. Not one. In fact, we should weep when we know that someone passes from this life without Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Because the New Jerusalem awaits us. It awaits you and it awaits me for those who cling to Him. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank You for this time. And I pray over those who may be watching, those here, Lord, that don't have a relationship with You, that today would be the day, Lord, that they call on that name that allows cripples to walk, that they would call on that name that allows the blind to receive their sight, the name that grants salvation to those and allows sinful men and women to enter the glorious kingdom of God. Father, we begin a new year. And from when You created Adam and Eve, You knew we would see this day. Nothing surprises You. And my prayer, my hope, Lord, I ask You to set this nation on fire, to set this nation ablaze with Your Spirit, that we can now take the ancient path and to seek Your face, Lord, when we turn away from sin and seek You with all of our hearts. We thank You and we love You. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray and all of God's people said. I would ask that You would stand for our closing benediction and our closing worship. As you leave here today, may the Lord guide you, may He bless you, and may He make His face to shine upon you in Christ, and always in Christ. Amen and amen.